An effort is being made to challenge the voter-approved Prop 208, otherwise known as Invest in Ed. The newly approved proposition will place a tax hike on the wealthiest in the state in order to provide more funding for K-12 education. A Scottsdale business owner and a retired judge are leading this latest charge. And Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services is with us this morning to figure it all out. Howie, good morning.
I love second-guessing attorneys.
You do that every day. So yes. This is bizarre to some because Prop 208, there were lawsuits leading up to the vote. Voters approved it. What is this lawsuit? What are they threatening here?
Well, they're claiming a couple of constitutional violations in 208. The broader one is the contention that the Arizona Constitution reserves the right to levy taxes to the legislature. They say that by telling the legislature you will raise this 3.5% levy, raise the $940 million a year, and decide how to spend it, you're interfering with the power of the legislature. The weakness of that, to me, certainly seems to be, A, we've had other taxes raised that way, I mean, including some other education money, taxes on cigarettes and things like that. But the bigger issue is that in Arizona, the Constitution makes the people co-equal with the legislature. In other words, anything they can do, we can do better, to put a little rhyme on it. The issue becomes that if the legislature can raise taxes, we can raise taxes. If the legislature can determine how money is spent, we can determine as the people how money is spent. And so I think that's the weaker of the two arguments. There is a more technical argument in the fact that the Constitution has certain local spending limits. And the initiative says that notwithstanding the local spending limits, we can spend this additional money. Well, the initiative is statutory. And now we're down to the question of, can a statutory change, a change in the law, supersede what's in the Constitution? That'll be, I think, the harder thing for the courts to decide. And I'm counting on, you know, months and months of litigation over that.
You and I have talked over the years about how there are many lawmakers who just don't like the idea of voter-approved initiatives because it ties their hand, although it was part of the original Arizona Constitution. The fact we're talking about one Scottsdale business owner, one retired judge, is this sort of from that same wing?
I think it's sort of from the same wing there. I think, however, perhaps even the chamber, which opposed 208 on the ballot in the first place, might have filed their own challenge had not this one not been filed. Mm. I think that there are a lot of folks who do believe that the legislature is superior. The legislature is the be-all and end-all. And truthfully, I think a lot of business people like the legislature having control because through donations, through lobbying, it's easier for the businesses to control the legislature than it is to control the great unwashed that is the Arizona populace.
Well, let's move on to another issue, which a lot of people think is far-fetched potentially as well. But there is a group called Accountable Arizona that has filed a petition to recall Governor Ducey. We know that his popularity certainly during the pandemic has gone down, even though he doesn't face re-election again. Do you think this, you know, talking about 500,000 signatures needed by January, how do you look at this? Is this just making a point or is there actually a chance here?
I think there's a small chance. I mean, there have been some successful recalls in the state. As you point out, it requires the votes or the signatures of 25% of the people who voted in the last election for that office. They were able to successfully recall Russell Pierce when he was the president of the Senate. And of course, that was a smaller group, but it still required 25% of the people who voted. And if you go back to the 80s, there was a successful recall against Evan Meekum, but in fact, he was shoved out of office, you know, through impeachment and removal before that got to take place. It is possible. But I think the problem with this one is, as you point out, the number of signatures needed, the lack of money to hire paid circulators, and the fact that while a lot of people disagree with the governor, they don't all agree with the recall. The recall organizers are upset because the governor hasn't done enough to keep the spread of COVID-19. There's a whole nother group of Arizonans who say he's done too much. Now, can they find common ground? Is it like the old Israeli saying the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and they will sign it for that? Possibly, but I think it's definitely an uphill fight. Is it making a point? I certainly think that the governor probably, you know, gets up in the morning and starts looking at the Twitter feeds and seeing what they're saying about him. But I don't think he's honestly afraid of having to face an election.
All right, Howie, we'll stop there. That's Howie Fisher of Capital Media Service. Thanks as always, and happy Thanksgiving.
And same to you.